Networks on Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth every Friday night at 9 p.m. GMT.
That's the beautiful sound of the ocean, but hidden within that sound are thousands of special subliminal messages. Your waking mind can't hear them, but your subconscious can. This is a scientifically proven method of changing your thinking and can change your life, as it has for millions of customers over 28 years. Visit www.changelifetoday.com for the world's best range of subliminal CDs, covering 125 subjects such as personal and family matters, relationships, career, money, weight loss, self-improvement, and much, much more. All discounted and fully guaranteed forever. Free bonuses for every order. Harness the power of your subconscious to achieve your goals in life, remove your fears, improve your self-confidence, and maximize your potential. It's so simple. Just play the CD. Visit www.changelifetoday.com, dedicated to your success.
Would you like to find out something truly amazing about yourself and your future? Well, contact me via my website at www.sueclarkreadings.co.uk. I'm a professional psychic tarot reader based in Glastonbury. Oh, and I also have my own show on glastonburyradio.net, simply called Sue Clark's Tarot Hour. www.sueclarkreadings.co.uk. I have helped people from all walks of life and from every corner of our beautiful planet with all kinds of questions. Let me help you too.
You've heard the radio show. Now go to the conference. Some of the biggest names from the world of the paranormal and UFOs are attending the Now That's Weird conference, June 21st and 22nd, the summer solstice weekend 2008. On the bill, Professors JJ and Desiree Hertak from the Keys of Enoch, Paola Harris, one of the world's leading UFO investigators, author Andrew Collins, Nick Pope, the former MOD government UFO investigator, Malcolm Robinson, Brian Allen, Professor J.R. Searle, Adrian Gilbert, Alan Foster, Trevor Jones, Dr. Liz Williams, Ralph Ellis, George Lockett, Annie Macken, a whistleblower, an ex-MI5 agent. It's all there at the Assembly Rooms in High Street, Glastonbury in Somerset, 21st and 22nd of June 2008. Get your tickets now at glastonburyfairs.co.uk, spelled F-A-Y-R-E-S. Get there now. Check it out. You could be there for the whole weekend. Tickets on sale now, but going fast. Be there, the Now That's Weird Conference 2008.
The Connections magazines are the leading independent free guides to personal development, natural therapies, and all things mystic. The three regional magazines cover the Southwest, London and Southeast, and the Midlands, with articles and columns by many well-known people, including Dr. Alan Sweeney, Barbara Brennan, Gerd Lange, Karen Kay, Gail Force, and many more. Why not advertise your therapies, centers, courses and workshops, holidays and retreats, readings, products for sale, or tanning and therapy centers with us to our thousands of like-minded readers. See theconnections.co.uk or phone 01747 823 424. Glastonbury Radio, live from the heart of Glastonbury, England. Friday nights will never be the same again. Get hooked on Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth every Friday night at 9 p.m. GMT.
Get ready to be spooked. It's Ross Hemsworth talking paranormal on Now That's Weird.
The show the world listens to on a Friday night. This is Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Hi, this is your own pal, Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They make me feel f***ing normal.
We are observing your Earth.
Listen, Mike, I'm sorry, babe, but we can't...
And we'd like to make...
I'm sorry, Mike, we... There's...
...a contact with you.
I know you want to hear more. I know you do. Gonna take it out of here in grand tradition. But you gotta help us. Will you help us? All right. Gonna help us take it out of here with the rock and roll national anthem. Yeah, I feel like getting dirty tonight here.
Hi, this is your own pal, Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They make me feel f***ing normal.
Zoink, Scoob! I smell something weird!
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Email the show, Ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space itself and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area that we call... Now that's weird.
It certainly is. Welcome back. It's me, Ross Hemsworth, and yet another 3 hours of strange phenomena chat on a Friday night. Thanks for all tuning in this evening from wherever you are in the world. And if you're listening on our feed here, you'll have heard George Thorogood and the Destroyers opening the show with the rock and roll anthem, Johnny Be Good. I feel good tonight, and I thought, let's have some rock and roll. We've got to do it occasionally. I know it's a talk show, but a bit of rock and roll, I don't know, just puts you in the right mood for the night, doesn't it? Now, I've got a really good lineup for you tonight. Let's start out. Backwards first, in Hour 3 tonight, Hugh Newman joining us from Avalon Rising, talking about psychic children. Now, you may recall some time ago we had a long discussion with Elizabeth and I about whether or not it's all washed out of us when we get to the age of 5, because everybody seems to have an ability when they're born that basically, from 5 years onwards, when you go to school, they teach it out of you. It's wrong to do this, it's wrong to do that. And by the time you come out of school, you're a skeptic, you don't believe in any of the paranormal stuff. Is that about to change? Is the whole attitude of our schooling about to change? We're going to talk about that with Hugh Newman from 11 through till 12 and psychic children. Looking forward to that one. Elizabeth with us in hour two, and we'll be testing your ESP and telepathy, I can't even say it, abilities here live on the radio. She's got some tests set up for you tonight, so we're going to test you to see if you can actually pick up what Elizabeth is churning out into the ether tonight. We're also going to be talking about a number of paranormal subjects with her as usual, and taking your emails on ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. Now, my first guest this evening, it's the first time he's been on the show, he's a newbie to the show, so let me start off by doing a little bit of an introduction for him. He's certainly not a newbie in the field, believe me. We've been trying to get this guy on the show for a while, and somebody jogged my memory a little while ago and said, oh, you really ought to get this guy on the show. And then totally out of the blue, a book turned up which had been left through a third party for my attention, saying, this is my new book, can I do your show? And I thought, we've got to do this, we've got to get this together. His name is Mike Oram, and Mike's an award-winning UK landscape photographer, songwriter and musician who a few years ago was offered a substantial recording contract by a British record label. Mike is also an experienced lecturer and storyteller, and one of his radio interviews on the UFO phenomenon became the most requested tape for local and hospital radio. Mike is the originator, co-creator and writer of the British strip cartoon Ben's World, and most recently Mike has written and recorded 2 Ben's World music CDs, which include songs and stories. His book, Does It Rain in Other Dimensions, is written from the perspective of a lifetime of personal experience with a variety of visitors from off-world, including his own Space Brothers, a biomechanical being, Tulip People, and Light Beings. This book offers a retrospective and current look at the alien abduction scenario and includes the author's amazing abduction incident at Area 51, Nevada, and DNA symbols for consciousness change given to him by light beings. His website is inotherdimensions.com. That's inotherdimensions.com. There's a link from our website, so do check it out. He's with me now on the phone. Mike, good evening.
Good evening, Ross. Nice to talk to you.
Yes, likewise. Good to have you on the show at last. Now, I've got to say, Mike, before we go into anything else, the Brits are about to invade Nevada.
They certainly are, and I believe you're going to be there as well, Ross.
I am, yes. I think there's 4 of us going out. You're going, I'm going,
Nick Pope
and Philip Mantle.
That's right. Yeah, it should be good fun.
It is. I've actually said to Nick today that we're going to reserve a corner of the bar for the Brits at the Aquarius International Resort, and he's come back, he said, yeah, let's show the Yanks we know how to party.
Sounds good to me.
I think so. Now, first of all, before we go into the basics of the book or whatever, tell us what you're going to be talking about in Nevada next month.
I'm going mainly because I am limited to 1 hour. Now, I do normally speak for 1.5 to 2 hours, so I've got to really hone it down. So I've decided to mainly concentrate on the missing time experience at Area 51, as that is quite... it's quite a long and drawn-out experience. It takes up two whole chapters in the book, and it will probably take me about 45 minutes to sort of go through. So that will be the main part of the talk. And it's probably right to talk about that there, because it happened after the conference there in 2004, and I hired a car and went out to Area 51 and with my partner Fran, and of course we had this experience.
Mm. Well, we're going to come back to that in a moment, because I'm going to talk to you some more about that particular experience, because it is fascinating. But I'm just looking here at the website for the UFO Congress. It's UFOcongress.com. There's a link now up on the Now That's Weird website. I'm just looking at some of the speakers here. It's like a who's who from our world, isn't it, Mike, really? We've got Philip Mantle, Michael Horn, Donald Schmidt, Russell Targ, Matthew Tooney, Dr. Louis Turi, Dolores Cannon, Nick Pope, Paola Harris, a good friend of both of us, I know, Richard Dolan, Giorgio Tsakalis, I hope they pronounced that right, Carla Rukart, Mike Oram, of course, Jim Mars, Dr. Joe Lules, Wendell Stevens, Dr. Leo Sprinkle, Al Givard, Dr. Roger Lear, Jim Weiner, Chuck Foltz, Bud Hopkins, Peter Robbins, Jim Sparks, Dr. J.J. Hurtak and Desiree Hurtak, Grant Cameron, Michael Schratt, John Clark, Yvonne Smith, Randy Kapang, David Wilcock, some guy called Ross Hemsworth, never heard of him, Haktan Akdagen, Jamie Milson, Santiago Yuturi Garza, quite gets harder as you go on, doesn't it? Rob Simone and Dan Burrish, Trish Casimira, Nancy Talbot, Farrow Udoza, and Phyllis Schlemmer. And I'm not going to repeat any of those. That's quite some list, though, isn't it?
Well, I mean, you know, where else can you go where you have the opportunity to meet all these wonderful people, really? I mean, you know, a lot of these people are the top speakers in these subjects.
Exactly. Well, I understand that tickets are almost sold out now, but there are some. So if you're listening to the show tonight and you fancy going to Nevada for 10 days, or if you're in America anyway, get on that site now, ufocongress.com, get yourself some tickets and come up and say hello to Mike and I while you're there. We'll be staying at the venue, the Aquarius International Resort. Come up and say hello and we'll see what we can do. Maybe sign a book for you or whatever. Now, let's get on to the business in hand, Mike. Where did this all start for you? What brought you into this world of strange phenomena?
I suppose I have to really go back to the age of four, which is back in 1955, when I had a conversation with my mother. Now, I'd like to say at this point that, you know, I was only 4 years of age, but I actually had images in my mind, and there were words that came with these images that enabled me to tell my mother what I was experiencing. And I told her that there was no... I started by telling her that there was no such thing as death, and she said to me, well, of course there is. You know, when you die, Mike. And I said, well, no, you don't. I said, the universe goes on for eternity. And I said, for us to simply never play a part in that universe again did not make sense. I said, we had to come back. Now, in the same conversation, I said to her, and also, Mum, you are not my real parents. And she was quite shocked at this, and she said, well, of course we are. She said, you were born in this house. And I said, well, no. I said, you're my parents as far as bringing me onto this earth. I said, but my real parents are somewhere out there in space. And in the same conversation, I ended by saying to her that something of incredible importance was going to happen on this planet. And I said to her that it was going to affect all units of consciousness, you know, whether it was mineral, vegetable, animal, or man. And I said, it will not happen in your lifetime, Mum, but it will happen in mine.
Mm. I'm going to stop you there, Mike, because we need to go into the first ad break, which creeps up on us a little bit fast, I know. But keep and hold that thought, because we're going to come back and talk some more on this in just a moment. My guest is Mike Oram. InOtherDimensions.com is the website. Check it out. We'll be back right after these words.
Email the show, Ross, at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Friday nights will never be the same again. Get hooked on Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth every Friday night at 9 p.m. GMT.
That's the beautiful sound of the ocean, but hidden within that sound are thousands of special subliminal messages. Your waking mind can't hear them, but your subconscious can. This is a scientifically proven method of changing your thinking and can change your life, as it has for millions of customers over 28 years. Visit www.changelifetoday.com for the world's best range of subliminal CDs covering 125 subjects such as personal and family matters, relationships, career, money, weight loss, self-improvement and much, much more. All discounted and fully guaranteed forever. Free bonuses for every order. Harness the power of your subconscious to achieve your goals in life, remove your fears, improve your self-confidence, and maximize your potential. It's so simple. Just play the CD. Visit www.changelifetoday.com. Dedicated to your success.
Would you like to find out something truly amazing about yourself and your future? Well, contact me via my website at www.sueclarkreadings.co.uk. I'm a professional psychic tarot reader based in Glastonbury. Oh, and I also have my own show on glastonburyradio.net, simply called Sue Clark's Tarot Hour. www.sueclarkreadings.co.uk. I have helped people from all walks of life and from every corner of our beautiful planet with all kinds of questions. Let me help you too.
You've heard the radio show. Now go to the conference. Some of the biggest names from the world of the paranormal and UFOs are attending the Now That's Weird conference, June 21st and 22nd, the summer solstice weekend, 2008. On the bill, Professors JJ and Desiree Hertak from the Keys of Enoch, Paola Harris, one of the world's leading UFO investigators, author Andrew Collins, Nick Pope, the former MOD government UFO investigator, Malcolm Robinson, Brian Allen, Professor J.R. Searle, Adrian Gilbert, Alan Foster, Trevor Jones, Dr. Liz Williams, Ralph Ellis, George Lockett, Annie Macken, a whistleblower, an ex-MI5 agent. It's all there at the Assembly Rooms in High Street, Glastonbury in Somerset, 21st and 22nd of June 2008. Get your tickets now. .co.uk, spelled F-A-Y-R-E-S. Get there now. Check it out. You could be there for the whole weekend. Tickets on sale now, but going fast. Be there. The Now That's Weird Conference 2008.
The Connections magazines are the leading independent free guides to personal development, natural therapies, and all things mystic. The three regional magazines cover the Southwest, London and Southeast, and the Midlands, with articles and columns by many well-known people, including Dr. Alan Sweeney, Barbara Brennan, Gerd Lange, Karen Kay, Gail Force, and many more. Why not advertise your therapies, centers, courses and workshops, holidays and retreats, readings, products for sale, or tanning and therapy centers with us to our thousands of like-minded readers. See theconnections.co.uk or phone 01747 823 424. Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Yes, welcome back. You're listening to Now That's Weird. We're in the first hour for a Friday night live from Glastonbury, the heart chakra of the planet, and with me on the phone is Mike Oram. Now, Mike, we were talking before the break there about how you got involved in all this, so if you can carry on the story for us from where you left off.
Yes, well, my mother was quite sort of shocked and surprised at what I was telling her, and she never really forgot this and often brought it up in conversation right up until she died, which was like about 40 years later. I wasn't too sure what I was saying at the time about this, something that was going to affect the whole planet, but I think now that it is something to do with some shift or change in consciousness. After that experience, I really, from that point onwards, all I sort of wanted to do was look up into the sky and try and find my family. And I'd done that throughout my early childhood.
Now, I can sort of understand and relate to this, because more recently, over the last year or so, as I've got more and more into the parallel dimension thing and understood that and the parallel universes, I'm getting visions of things with regards to something that we need to watch the skies for. I'm also seeing a potential disaster on the west coast of America, which I've assumed to be with regards to the San Andreas Fault, but I'm hoping that I'm wrong on that for obvious reasons. But I've noticed in the news this week there's been a big story breaking on AboveTopSecret.com about an asteroid that's heading our way, that's going to pass so close to the Earth, if it doesn't hit, that it's going to cause some major damage around the world. Have you heard about this?
I have heard about this as well. Yes, Is this the one that they're calling the Blue Star?
I think it is. It's due to hit on the 29th of January, apparently, which is only 4 days away now.
Yes. I don't know. I mean, the trouble is with predictions, there's been predictions for so many years, and they never always quite come true.
Mm.
But having said that, I do agree with you, you know, when you're talking about the west coast of America, I have been shown images by my, who I call my space brothers, where there is going to be geological issues with our planet. Now, whether that's going to coincide with this shift in consciousness that I think is going to happen, I don't know. It may be part and parcel of the same thing. But they have shown me images of sort of flooded areas and that sort of thing. So I think it's almost inevitable that something is going to happen. And we are seeing this happening now ecologically. Now, whether that's due to our carbon footprint or I believe it's something more cyclical, I think this is something that's gone on with the history of our planet ever since it came into existence.
No, I agree. Mm. Now, the interesting thing here is that where we are in Glastonbury, a lot of people have been talking about this for several years now, saying that these changes are part of the lead up to 2012. And many people, of course, writing at the moment about the various aspects of 2012 and the Mayan calendar. Now, as you rightly say, a lot of predictions over the years have led to nothing. The Mayan predictions have always been spot on, haven't they?
Well, yes. Now, I've been told about 2012. I did have a series of regressions after having this missing time at Area 51 with a chap called David Coggins, who came and stayed at my house for 5 days, and we looked into the Area 51 incident and also some other major incidences in my life that I wanted to have a look at. And under regression, I did say that 2012-2013 was going to be the time of great change, and I did sense when I was in this higher state that it was going to be geological shift in some way, but also some sort of consciousness shift as well that will somehow move us on to a different reality.
Now, again, you see, many clairvoyants have said this, Mike, that we're going to get closer to spirit, closer to the parallel dimensions around us, and that we are going to shift consciousness completely. Now, when the clairvoyants first started saying this years ago, they weren't being taken seriously. They were being poo-pooed by the media, still are to a degree, although now more and more people are starting to take this seriously because the evidence is there. And we've been speaking on the programme the last couple of weeks about a programme called Atom that was on BBC Four. I don't know if you saw it, did you?
What, sorry?
A programme called Atom on BBC Four.
Oh, I didn't see it.
It was presented by someone called Professor Khalili from Surrey University, and he said science now puts its hands up and admits it's wrong. There are parallel dimensions, and we probably actually live inside a matrix.
Yes, the matrix. I think that's possibly quite true. I know from my own space brothers that I've always said to people that they are only a vibration away. It's as simple. And when they have taken, what they do is change my frequency. They actually speed up my body, and I actually feel a sort of a buzzing in my head. I sit down and prepare myself because I know it's going to happen. I know when they're coming, and I start with a buzzing in my head, and then it goes through my entire body, and my body is vibrating so incredibly fast that I then just lift off and go through the ceiling or through a closed window or whatever, but I'm then in their frequency. So, I mean, parallel dimensions, I'm sure a lot of these space people, you know, some of them may well come from physical planets, I'm sure they do, but a lot of them are interdimensional.
Definitely. Well, we're going to come back and talk some more about the Area 51 incident in a little while. But just first off, I want to go through a few things that I've written down here. The first thing is, at certain times, certain places around the world experience what's known as a UFO flap, such as what happened allegedly in Warminster in the 60s. Now, you were there. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, Warminster. I mean, Warminster's got such a big place in my heart. A lot of people say bad things about Warminster, but I was there. I was there in the 60s. I was there in the 70s. I eventually moved there in 1977 and stayed for a number of years. But in the early, sort of, well, mid-late 60s, early 70s, I had some amazing experiences in Warminster, either up Cradle Hill or more so out at Star Hill. Now, I mean, Star Hill in those days was, it wasn't as well known as Cradle Hill, and there was no light pollution, and it was absolutely dark. And I used to go there with my two friends, John Bennett and Chris Troubridge, and Graham Carroll was another friend of mine then, and we used to have the most amazing experiences. But in a way, you know, we were young, we were in our teens, and perhaps we were a bit naive, but we almost used to play parlour games with these lights. I used to come along and I used to follow the contours of the hill. They might send out smaller lights that would come and hover in front of us or land in the field, and we would flash our torch, say, a number of times, 2, 3, 4 times, and the whole object would go off that same number of times. And even when we weren't seeing these objects, if the sky was really clear, we would just sort of stand there and look for shooting stars or watch satellites come over. But then we'd watch some of these satellites, and some of them, they obviously weren't satellites, because they would suddenly stop and then go back the other way, or go off at a right angle, left or right, and then shoot away across the sky. So what they were, we don't know. But we did have some amazing experiences in Warminster, and I've got a whole chapter devoted to it in my book. Craft would come, and they knew that we were there. This is the thing, and what they would do is tell us to go somewhere. We would get a telepathic impression in their mind to go to a certain place, and we would go, and they would appear. I'm sure a lot more happened in those days than I'm aware of, and that is something else that I do need to look at under regression at some point.
Now, I'm going to make 2 points on this, Mike. Number one is that Close Encounters of the Third Kind was very much based on getting a telepathic image of a site and going to it. A lot of people believe that the writers of these science fiction films are actually writing about true events when they do it, even though they may not know they are. They're picking it up from the universal consciousness. But on the other side, on the flip side of that, Professor Jonathan Searle, who's speaking at our conference, the Now That's Weird conference in June, suggests that it was him that was responsible for all the Warminster sightings, because he was flying an anti-gravity vehicle, saucer-shaped vehicle, over Warminster in the 60s. Now, whilst that stands up, people have proof that he was flying this thing. How could that possibly interact with people in the same way?
Well, I mean, he may have been flying something there, but it certainly wasn't what we were seeing. I mean, we would see these bright lights that would... Sometimes they would literally just appear in front of our eyes and disappear as quickly. They would send other lights out, and they would come and sort of land near us. They even affected our car, and then the main light would just shoot off across the sky at the most amazing speed. You know, this wasn't something that was just being flown around by John Searle, I can assure you.
Mm. Now, you've had a lot of experiences in your life, Mike, and obviously, like myself, you've become convinced by experience, not by just hearsay. But why do you think it is that many people have experiences and others see nothing at all?
Do you know, I've been asked that hundreds and hundreds of times, and rightly so. I mean, I've got friends, I mean, you know, that have been so keen on this subject. I mean, one friend of mine, Graham Carroll, who I mentioned earlier, back when he was about 18, back in the 60s, he was so keen. He used to produce a little magazine called Perception. You know, that's how keen he was. And I'm still friendly with him now, but he's never, ever seen a UFO. And he says to me, you know, I'm as keen as what you are. Why haven't I seen them? Now, I can't actually answer that. I can only say for myself. Now, I do know some of this stuff is generational. It is sort of genetic, but I know the reason why I've seen so much stuff is because I'm told to go somewhere, and I have been my entire life. I might be told to suddenly get up and look out of a certain window in the house, or open a door, and they'll be hovering outside, or telling me to go somewhere out in the country, or when I was in Warminster, telling me to go somewhere out on the Salisbury Plain. I'll just get into my car and go and arrive, and there the craft would be. So that's why I've actually seen a lot of craft.
And how has that affected your life as such, Mike, all of these things going on?
Yeah, it's, you know, sometimes throughout my life I've thought I've got to get out of this subject, you know, because it does take you over. But rightly so, because, you know, this is the most important thing that is happening to mankind, if we only realised it. Now, One of the things I've found quite sad is that it's very difficult to talk to people that aren't interested in the subject. And, you know, therefore, I have a very close-knit set of friends that I can talk to. But once I step out of that, it's very difficult to strike up a conversation, you know, to actually get through to people. So, in a way, it can sort of alienate you. I mean, some people may show an interest, and, you know, they might see my book and say, oh, you've written a book. And I say, yes, it's about my life and my interaction with extraterrestrial beings. And they don't ask another question after that.
They just think you're nuts. Yeah, I know. I get the same thing with mine as well. Listen, I've got to stop you there, Mike, because we need to go to another break. My guest is Michael Ram. His website is what's it called? In Other Dimensions?
InOtherDimensions.com.
That's it, InOtherDimensions.com. The thing flicked off my page just as I went to say it. InOtherDimensions.com. Check it out, we'll be back right after this.
From the Tor to the Chalice Well, from the Abbey to the Georgian Pilgrim, this is Glastonbury Radio.
There's a special in-bulk Mystic and Earth Spirit Fair at the Assembly Rooms Glastonbury on Saturday the 2nd and Sunday the 3rd of February with a Temple of the Moon Goddess workshop, artwork and performances by Jackie Juno, an in-bulk ritual by Liz and Trevor from the Witchcraft Shop, connecting with angels from Gail Elaine Brace Girdle, the Psychic Children from Hugh Newman, and an Elementals fashion show by the Cat's Whiskers. Combine this with yoga and dance classes, local musicians, and all included in a measly entry fee of just £3, with accompanied kids free. Not bad, eh? Psychic readers, therapists, alternative shops, vegetarian cafe, and the mindspiritnetwork.com will be filming the event live on an interactive TV system. So come to Glastonbury for the Mystic and Earth Spirit Fair. Check out the website now, glastonburyfairs.co.uk. That's fairs spelled F-A-Y-R-E-S. Or phone Graham now on 07990 797979. That's 07990 797979. That's the beautiful sound of the ocean, but hidden within that sound are thousands of special subliminal messages. Your waking mind can't hear them, but your subconscious can. This is a scientifically proven method of changing your thinking and can change your life, as it has for millions of customers over 28 years. Visit www.changelifetoday.com for the world's best range of subliminal CDs, covering 125 subjects such as personal and family matters, relationships, career, money, weight loss, self-improvement, and much, much more. All discounted and fully guaranteed forever. Free bonuses for every order. Harness the power of your subconscious to achieve your goals in life, remove your fears, improve your self-confidence, and maximize your potential. It's so simple. Just play the CD. Visit www.changelifetoday.com. Dedicated to your success.
Take a walk back in time by visiting the Gauntlet Shopping Arcade in the High Street, Glastonbury. The Gauntlet is the town's newest shopping area, but set in an ancient walkway that oozes myth, legend, and real history. You'll find a wide range of shops offering a wide variety of products and always a friendly welcome. Visit thegauntlet.biz. The Gauntlet, Glastonbury's premier shopping thoroughfare.
I love you. Because you, me, and the universe are one. We are all in this together. So what can we do about it? Well, we could reverse the effects of global warming, save the rainforests, feed, clothe, and shelter the world's population entirely using just one plant. Hemp. The natural provider of food, fiber, fuel, and medicine. Use locally and grow globally. Intrigued? Then find out more at Hemp in Avalon, your local Hemporium, based at 1A Market Place, Glastonbury, 01458 835 769, or log on to hempinavalon.com.
Avalon Tyre Services are a local family-owned business based in Street Road in Glastonbury. Their services include tyres, batteries and exhausts, MOTs, brakes and clutches, tow bars and servicing, alarms and immobilisers, tyre repair services, shock absorbers, Krypton tuning, welding, windscreen and headlight repairs and 24-hour recovery. Contact Avalon Tyres right now for a quote on 01458 831 330. That's 01458 831 330. Or visit their website at Avalon Tyre Services. That's AvalonTireServices.com.
Email the show, Ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Yes, welcome back. It's me, Ross Hemsworth. It's Friday night. We're in hour one of Now That's Weird, the show that people stay in for now on a Friday. People used to go out to discos and things on Friday nights, but of course times are changing. Now they listen to me. Yes, and I send the boys around if you don't. My guest in the first hour is Mike Oram, and we're talking aliens, UFOs and multi-dimensions. Mike, welcome back to the programme. Now, we were saying before the break there about the effect it's had on your life and the way people react to things like books and whatever, but you must have your own feelings, regardless of what other people think, of what these beings are, what causes this strange phenomena, and whether or not they've actually been here for some time. Because if we go back to stories like Roswell, the whole UFO phenomena has been around certainly since the 40s. Some people are even talking about it pre-biblical times. So what do you think they are and where do they come from?
Yes, well, I think for a start, I mean, I don't think there's any sort of just one race. And I think Bob Dean, Colonel Bob Dean, said once when I was talking to him that he saw some secret military papers when he was in the forces, and he reckoned on there that they had evidence of about 74 different types that were coming here. Now, I don't know about that many types, but there certainly are many different types that are coming here, and they do seem to have different agendas. Now, you know, why they're all coming to this planet, you know, I can't really answer that, but I still do believe that a vast majority are here for our own benefit, and some of these beings have been here for a long time. There's some books out, I don't know whether you're aware of them, Ross, by Charles James Hall, called Millennial Hospitality.
No, I've not come across that one.
No, well, he's written four volumes, the fourth one's just come out, and he was working in 51 in the early 60s as a weatherman, and there was these beings that were living at Area 51 that he called the Tall Whites.
No, I remember Paola Harris talking about them.
They've been protected by the military there, and there'd been this exchange going on, but apparently they'd been here for like thousands of years and sort of used this planet as a sort of way station. Now, they are some of the most respected books now in ufology, and they're certainly worth reading. I do believe that, you know, there is possible evidence that we have been genetically, say, manipulated in the past. And I had an experience here with these beings that I call the light beings. I call them the light beings because they are humanoid in form, or they appear humanoid, but they are just absolute brilliant golden light. And when they come, I actually merge with them and go into complete and utter oneness. And back in 1994, they put all these symbols and letters into my mind, and they told me that they would be released at some point in the future, and they contain the knowledge of the universe. Now, under regression with David Coggins, this is one of the things I wanted to go back to, and I went back to this experience, and the beings actually returned, and the whole energy of the room changed. And I was laying flat on my back, and I asked for a pen and a notepad. My eyes were closed. And I was holding the biro upside down. Now, if you try and write like that, you probably can't write more than 2 to 4 words. And they tried to take the pen out of my hand and give me a felt tip pen, but I refused. And I wrote for 1 hour with this biro upside down, and I wrote all the symbols down. And the light beings told me that if we meditated on these symbols, they were going to change our DNA. And it's that would change our consciousness. And they said I had to disseminate that now out to the people. That's what prompted me to write this book, that and the missing time at Area 51. And I actually made these cards up into a pack of 6 cards so that people can hold them. But we'd done some research, and Fran found that there were some Russian scientists that changed the frog embryo into a salamander embryo by bombarding it with different frequencies and symbols. So it might well be possible, you know, that this could be done to our DNA.
I think you could be right. Okay, we're coming up to another break. Now, in America, on most of the FM stations, you'll be getting ads. Over here, you'll be getting a bit of music. So we sort of go our different ways at this point for about 3 minutes. When we come back, I'm going to be talking to Mike about his experience in Area 51, where he had a complete time loss. And it was one of the freakiest stories I've ever heard. I've read about this on various websites and things, and certainly he talks about it in his book. Stay tuned. We're going to have a bit of music this end, and then we're going to ask Mike exactly what happened to him at Area 51 in America.
Grew up in a rusty shack. All I had was a hanging on my back. Only you know how I know this place called Tobacco Road.
Weird.co.uk. Welcome back, and we're in hour one of Now That's Weird. My guest is Mike Oram, and Mike, I've got an email coming for you here from listeners, and anyone else wants to get an email in for Mike or any of the other guests on the show tonight, it's the usual address, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk, or you can use studio@glastonburyradio.net. either of them will come through to Penny here, who's dealing with the emails tonight here in the studio. Now, Mike, Jed in New Jersey is a regular listener to the show, and he asked the question. A recent press conference took place in Washington where a lot of people came forward, high-ranking military officers, government officials, stating that the UFO phenomena was real and that aliens are real. What's Mike's opinion on this? Is there a government cover-up, and is the time now at an end?
Right, yes. Now, yes, it certainly is a cover-up, and it is quite well known. I agree with you, Ross, when you mentioned earlier that I think it mainly came down after a Roswell crash, probably in the late 40s, early 50s, when I think it was starting to get out of hand, and I think they had to do something about it. Now, why they actually brought the lid down is difficult to say. Some people said it would upset the financial system, it would upset religions. It may have been something quite simple, like, you know, we can't tell the public that these things are flying in our airspace and there's nothing that we can do about it. Or it might be something even more sinister, but as Jed pointed out, yes, Stephen Greer started up something called the Disclosure Project, which is now a forum where all these people that are now reaching a great age in their life, and they have a conscience and they want to talk about it, and there's safety in numbers, and top military people are talking out about these things. I mean, I've got some quotes here. I mean, I could quickly read you out here some astronaut ones. Eugene Cernan from the Apollo 17 mission in 1973 that he says, here, I've been asked about UFOs, and I've said publicly I thought they were somebody else, some other civilization. Edgar Mitchell from Apollo 14. We all know UFOs are real. All we need to ask is where do they come from? And astronaut Scott Carpenter in 1962, he said, at no time when the astronauts were in space were they alone. In the India Daily in January 2005, it said that the country, it's reported on its country's internal debate on whether or not the populace should be told what the government knows about UFOs. And it said, New Delhi is in the middle of a big secret internal debate. On one side, the largest democracy of the world is eager to explain to its citizens and to the world about the ongoing contacts with the UFOs and extraterrestrials. But on the other hand, there are invisible, untold international protocols that prohibit doing anything that may cause worldwide fear and panic. And I think it's that in a nutshell. But I think now with the internet and the Disclosure Project, I think they're getting under increasing pressure. This stuff is boiling over, and they can't keep the lid on it for much longer.
No, I think you're right. Well, when I met Paola Harris at Probe earlier last year, at the Probe conference, she puts forward some very, very strong arguments for why we have to take this seriously now. And I think a lot of my listeners, even those on the more sceptical side of the fence, realise that this can't all be coincidence, all of these things being seen around the world, probably more sightings now than ever before. But I'm aware of time, so let's move on from that just for a moment, because I want to touch on this Area 51 thing. You dedicated a couple of chapters to your book about this missing time at Area 51. Can you explain exactly what happened, Mike?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, I haven't got much time left, so I'm going to have to just tell you incredibly briefly, because it is two chapters. But me and Fran had gone to the Lofthin conference in 2004, and we decided to hire a car and go out to Area 51. We were driving along Extraterrestrial Highway, which is Highway 375. It is officially known as Extraterrestrial Highway now, and we eventually reached what they call the Groom Lake Road. This is a dirt road that you drive down for 14 miles until you get down to the famous sign where it says, like, you know, you can't stand here and take a photograph or even make a graphic representation or a drawing of any sort. There's a military car just to the left, to the right with a couple of people in. There's a couple of cameras. I took one photo. I said to Fran, I haven't come all this way without taking one photo. I mean, it's incredibly intimidating because you're out there in the middle of nowhere. I said to Fran, I'll just put my foot down and we'll zoom back up the dirt road, which is what we'd done. But we were closely followed by this military truck. And then one of our tyres blew out at the back. Now, this happened, I'm telling you incredibly briefly here, I'm not doing it justice, but this happened about 25 past one. And the next thing we knew, it was 10 to 4, and it was starting to get dark. We're in a bit of a confused state, and we drove up to Little Ailey Inn. Something major happened in between that with my space brothers, but I haven't got time to go into it now. But we drove up to Little Ailey Inn and we started to stay there the night and to try and get Hertz to come and change the vehicle. It took them 6 hours to get there and they arrived at midnight. But while we was in the mobile home, Fran was laying on the bed and she said, well, I'm not going to bed tonight. I'm keeping fully clothed. I'm even keeping my shoes on, ready for a quick getaway. But we didn't even discuss why did we need a quick getaway. I suddenly felt sick at 1 o'clock in the morning and went outside round the side of the mobile home, and I was sick three times, and all the time I was being sick there was this large light hovering above me. And when I went back into the mobile home, I said to Fran, quick, come and see this light. And then I said to her, you might have come to see if I was okay. And she said, what do you mean? She said, I waited 20 minutes, you hadn't come back. I went outside, I searched the area, I shouted for you, I looked around, I came back in, I sat on the bed for another 20 minutes wondering what the hell I could do. She said, suppose he never comes back. I wasn't aware. I thought I was only out there for 5 minutes. Well, I'd actually been lifted up into that light, and I actually met my space brothers up there. So there were actually two sets of missing time. There was a military one, which under regression, they took us into an underground base, and they actually knew that I was a contactee. Mm. And they wanted to know why I was in the area. and what I had in my mind, and they had these machines there that were all to do with the mind and consciousness.
That's amazing. Now, I've got to stop you there, Mike, because we just need to go into this last ad break of the hour, but I want listeners to send me their emails about this. What do you think? ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We've heard a lot about these type of experiences before. What do you think happened?
Email the show, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Don't forget, you can now listen to shows you may have missed
stored on our servers.
Check out our Listen Again feature at glastonburyradio.net.
Are you a cider drinker? Well, if you are, you should be visiting Roger Wilkins Cider up at Mudgley. Every Sunday morning you get freebies, free tastings, great cider. Roger Wilkins on the Mere to Wedmore Road in Mudgley.
The Celtic calendar and lunar wave is specifically designed for those who follow the original 13-month Grove cycle of the solar year, with all the full moon, dark moon and quarter moons clearly marked in its correct Grove with equinoxes and solstices too. For 2007, it is the old Celtic system which uses the names of the trees as they come into season as the month's Grove's name. Free rainbow with every copy, just place a mirror on the right-hand side. Send an A4 stamped addressed envelope to Celtic Calendars, 85-87, The Broadway, West Ealing, London, W13, 9BP. That's Celtic Calendars, 85-87, The Broadway, West Ealing, London, W13, 9BP.
The beautiful sound of the ocean, but hidden within that sound are thousands of special subliminal messages. Your waking mind can't hear them, but your subconscious can. This is a scientifically proven method of changing your thinking and can change your life, as it has for millions of customers over 28 years. Visit www.changelifetoday.com for the world's best range of subliminal CDs covering 125 subjects such as personal and family matters, relationships, career, money, weight loss, self-improvement and much, much more. All discounted and fully guaranteed forever. Free bonuses for every order. Harness the power of your subconscious to achieve your goals in life, remove your fears, improve your self-confidence, and maximize your potential. It's so simple. Just play the CD. Visit www.changelifetoday.com, dedicated to your success.
Friday nights will never be the same again. Get hooked on Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth every Friday night at 9 p.m. GMT. Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Yes, welcome back. The team behind the show, Penny on emails tonight, Lulu the cat behaving herself at the moment. All my regular listeners will know Lulu the cat's now got her own page on the website because she takes part in the show in every way she can, usually by trying to knock the microphones over, but there you go. Now, I've got Mike Oram with me. He's the guest in the first hour of the show tonight. Still to come, Elizabeth and Hugh Newman, two great guests coming up in the next 2 hours. But Mike, you were talking before the break about what happened at Area 51. Now, people can find out a lot more about this by buying the book. But what puzzles me is you were being followed by a military vehicle and all of a sudden you get a puncture in your rear tyre. Are you absolutely sure that this wasn't shot at?
Yes, what actually happened, the truck was chasing us, and then I said to a friend, it's getting even closer, and she said, yes, I know, I can see it in the wing mirror. And all of a sudden, there was this explosion, like this, and Frank said straight away, what's that? It looks like we're being shot. And I stopped the car immediately. Now, I was out that car within 10 seconds, and that truck was nowhere to be seen, and this is absolute flat, open desert. That puzzled us immensely. How could this truck have disappeared? Now, under regression, it was a totally different story. Because under regression, they shot the tyre, and we didn't have a chance to get out of our car, because the next thing we knew, there was these armed military men up at our car, and they ordered us out of our car at gunpoint. And they had this strange machine on the back of one of the trucks that at first looked like a sort of cannon, because it had one wheel either side that I said had magnetic coils in it. I called it under regression a magnetic pulse generator, and it actually created a portal, and we actually were forced to walk through this portal. And as soon as we walked through, we was in this underground military base that had all these machines all round the walls. Fran started to panic, and she was actually forced onto like this metallic, this sort of stainless steel metallic looking bed, and she was somehow subdued by this machine that one of these men had on his belt, and they put me onto these machines to try and find out why I was in the area and what I knew about the space people. And when they released us and put us back, that's where we had the missing time. That's why it was now like 10 to 4.
And what time was it when you were actually stopped, when the tire was blown out?
Yes. When the tire was blown out, it was 1:25.
So you lost over 3 hours.
Yes, and when we was underground for an hour, so when they brought us back, it was 2:30, and then I drove on this tire that was flat on the metal rim for 6 miles, and I didn't know why I was doing it. I drove off this dirt track, but I was actually being told telepathically by my space brothers to drive off this track, and we drove for 6 miles, and we didn't know why we